And the first three songs are In Christ Alone, All I Once Held Dear, and A Thousand Hallelujahs, I think.
So we are gathered here to worship God. So we have a God who came, lived, he died, and rose again, and even death could not hold him. As we sing this song, In Christ Alone, our hope is found. Our hope is in him because he has forgiven us. We are born again. He's transformed us. He's reconciled us. He's adopted us and made us his own. He saved us. And he's empowered us, and hence, in Christ alone, our hope is found. Of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand till he returns or calls me home. here in the blood of Christ I stand. And we know a God who is faithful. Lord, you are my all, you are my best. And Lord, I thank you because you are our all in all. Thank you. Lord, with 1,000 lips, we would give you praise. Lord, we can continue to give you praise all the days of our lives, and Lord, we would still, that would not be enough to thank you for all your goodness to us. Lord, we don't deserve any of this, but you have given it to us as a gift. Lord, thank you for your Son who you gave to die on the cross for us. And because of that, we are saved. Lord, we are made whole. We are made eternal. And Lord, you see us through the righteousness of your Son. And Lord, what a privilege to know that we are worth more than what we deserve or think. And that's because your Son died for us, because of your love on Calvary, that this morning we are set free and we can gather in your home and give you praise. Lord, thank you for the privilege that is ours to worship you this morning. Lord, may our lives continue to give you praise. And in all that we do, Lord, we would give you praise and honor in all that we do. Amen. Please be seated.
Supposed to turn it off. Shall I start again? Okay. Well, on Thursday, Palani hosted the newly accredited ministers meeting here in the conservatory and the hall, and he said it went really well indeed. It was a very blessed time, and he just wanted me to thank the Thursday care group for giving up the space to allow the meeting to take place. And thank you very much indeed. It all went off very well. Which leads me to say that Thursday care group is back again this Thursday at 10 o'clock. Friday between 1 and 3 is our usual art and craft group. Monday the 5th of February between 12:30 and 2 is our over 50s lunch. Just to remind you that there is a sign-up sheet on the offering table for the different activities and jobs that need to be done in Shotgate Baptist Church. I have seen a few of you looking at it, and I think you're putting your name down, which is very exciting. Thank you for that. If there's somebody's name there already, don't worry, you can add your name to it, because it just makes the task less. If there are more people, well, the more the merrier anyway. So thank you for that. It will be there for the whole of January. And then in February, we'll put all that into action. Thank you very much. Just to remind you that after the service, teas and coffees are served in the conservatory. Now this morning, we've got three readings. Aren't we blessed? And the first one is from Genesis. Then Gracia is going to do a reading. And then Pauline. The first reading is from Genesis 25, verses 29 to 33. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished." That is why he was also called Edom, which means red. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob.
The second reading is from Matthew 26, verses 14 to 16. Matthew 26, verses 14 to 16. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
The third reading's from Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there will be store for all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Demanded from you, sorry. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God.'" Amen.
We'll sing one more song before we go into a time of prayer. I think it's a familiar song. We may not have sung it here, but I'm sure like you all would have heard it.
See you.
Please be seated.
Don't know if many of you had heard that one before, but it's good, wasn't it? Woke us up a bit, I think. Let's come for our time of prayer. If most of you got the prayer list this week, so we can pray for people on there. And what's going on in our world? Doesn't matter what we look at here, there's always something going on. I'm sure there is some good things going on, but it's a very sad world at the moment, and it needs a lot of prayer. And there's our own family in the church that needs a lot of prayer. Some are having operations, some with family problems, some with our own ailments. I think there's always something that needs prayer in here, even in our own lives. You know on your heart who to pray for and what to pray for. And the Eastern Baptist Church this week is Arbury Road Baptist Church. And it's in the northern part of Cambridge, which I wouldn't know if it's northeast or what really, but it's the northern part of Cambridge. And like us, it's been going for over 90 years. So it looks an oldish looking church as well. But the last few years, the Lord's been good to them and they're gradually growing. So there's, you know, keep praying for us. We'll get there, won't we? They've got a lot going on, although it's the same people doing it. They have a a cafe, which people, it's like a drop-in cafe where people can just have a go in and chat and whatever. And also they've got Okay Is Not To Be Okay, which is like a community group as well. And it's for anyone to drop in. But they're asking for people from their fellowship to help out with that. I think sometimes we think we can't do it. We put things in the back of our mind and think, no, we can't do this. And I must say, there's times when I think, I can't do this either. But Palani asked you, and there's not a lot you can do about it, so you really have to step out of your own comfort zone sometimes. And they've also got a group for children as they come out from school. They can drop in and have a chat, have a drink and whatever. So they're gradually building their church again. And on the four things they've asked for is, please pray for continuing mission of the church, for the resource to provide more opportunities for young people, for new leaders to be raised up to serve in the church, that the church will reveal the hope and life of Jesus in all of North Cambridge. So what's ever on your heart, let's bring it to the Lord.
Our loving Father, we pray you'll strengthen for Lonnie and all those who work with him. Give him your wisdom and equip him with faith for every moment. Strengthen him and guide him and keep him in your hand and give him wisdom moment by moment and stand by him wherever he is. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this time of prayer that we can have. Father, we do think of the world that seems to be in so much trouble. We only hear some of it, Father, but I'm sure there's other places that have their own problems. Father, be with them all. Be with the Christians that are really struggling in these places. But Father, they don't seem to give up on you. Father, we pray for them. Father, we pray for our own fellowship, that for the people that need you now. You know them by name. So we give them to you. Father, we think of Palani, wherever we will be serving you today. Father, we thank you that we have him amongst us in our fellowship. We thank you that you sent him to us to be our minister. And Father, we thank you that Juan is going to come to us this morning and give us your word. We just ask that our hearts will be open and our ears will be there open for listening as we have our time of fellowship with you. We offer all our prayers, the quiet and the loud, to you now. Amen. We've got one more song before Juan comes. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours.
Start together once we have the right verses.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you.
Please be seated.
In France, at least, you can say Happy New Year until the 31st of January. So, Happy New Year! 2024. When I was a little kid, I thought the 21st century would never reach me. It's too far away. And here we are in the 21st century. A new year has begun. And today I want to talk to you about three different characters from the Bible. Two of them are historical. One of them is not historical, it's made up, it's a little parable. I remember when I was a child, I used to play a business person. How many of us have been a business person somehow? When you are a little one, you've got a toy, he's got a toy that I like, and you say, have that one, this is mine. So that's the first business you do in life. And sometimes you exchange something very nice for something that is not worth it. Then, later on, you start collecting cards and things like that. And someone says, oh, I like that one, I give you two for that one. And you say, good, here, one, give me two. Try to make a profit. I want to have more than you. Some of this business can be good. Some of the business we made can be very bad. The outcome could be later in life when we'll realize we've made a wrong decision. Well, the first one I'm thinking about is Esau. We all know the story of Esau. If not, I'll just remind you quickly. Esau was born from to Isaac and Rebekah, grandchild of Abraham. And he was the first one to come out of the womb, and Jacob came after him. Now, in those days, the child that was born first would be the firstborn, the oldest. Nowadays, in some countries, it's not like that. And I think it was taken from the story of Esau and Jacob, where Jacob becomes then the oldest one in a sense. And nowadays in Spain, if you have twins and they are born, the second one is the eldest. Don't know why, but that's how they do it. I mean, unless you have a big problem like in Croatia, in the town of Split. This year they have a problem. Two girls were born. One was born on the 31st of December 2023, and the other one was born on the 1st of January 2024. Separated by 2 minutes difference. The problem is not who was born first or who was born after, who is the eldest or who is the youngest. The problem we face here is that Esau couldn't care less whether he was the eldest or not. As the older brother, he was to inherit a promise. The Messiah was to be born of the line of Abraham. And Esau was not interested. All what we know about Esau is that he was hungry. And he was not prepared to wait for mom to cook something. There was already something there. And he said, I'm in a hurry. I'm going to die. Give me something. Lentils. He exchanged the promise of God of being a blessing to all the generations, to all the world. He exchanged that for a dish of lentils. I have to agree, I love lentils. But what a bad business he made. And we're here this morning, and you may think, oh, that's a nice story. But what are the business we are doing ourselves today? Some people think, okay, we sang hymns about Jesus being a promise to us and saving us and all that, and is all making bad business. Listen, it's not only for the unbelievers, it's for us believers as well. Every day when we get up in the morning, we have to decide the business we are going to carry out that day. Sometimes I struggle in the morning. Sometimes I'm half asleep, half awake, and I'm trying to say, thank you, Lord, for the new day. Then I look to the window and it's dark and I say, well, it's not light yet, but it's a new day. Other times I just forget altogether to say thank you. And later on I say, oh gosh, I forgot. Sorry, Lord. So we have to start every day thinking, what am I going to do today? How am I going to react to God, to the world, to the needs around me, to my own spiritual needs? Am I going to be an easel? Am I going to rush to the kitchen for my breakfast? Very often I am tempted to do that. Listen, if we despise God's promises, and God's promises are for you and your children, it says the Bible. If you despise God's promises, you are making a terrible mistake. Later on, we're going to see another character who made a terrible mistake like that again, as well. Yesterday, we had a men's breakfast, and it was probably the best one we've had since we started last year. Not in numbers, because we're lacking two more to beat the, three to beat the 13 we had at the beginning. But we had a wonderful chat about conversion, walking on with God, talking to God, listening to God. And someone said that he started asking God, you know, what do you want me to do? My business, what am I going to do in life at the age of 9? Others, they became Christian at the age of 20-something. And I tell you something, this is nothing to do with age. Business, this spiritual business, can happen to you at any time. And the question is placed before you, whether you are 9 or 89, what are you going to do with God's promises? Are you going to exchange them for a dish of lentils? Maybe he thought, I'm still young, I've got time. Well, maybe, maybe not. Many years ago, I met a young man who was challenged by one of his friends in university. They were both studying to be doctors. And my friend challenged him about believing in God, trusting in his promises. And this young man said, oh, I'm too busy now to finish my career. I promise I'll think about it when I finish my career. Well, and this is not a made-up story. I knew this guy very well in Bilbao, Spain. The following week, he was walking down a road when a bus hit him and killed him. He didn't have time to finish his career. He didn't have time to accept God's promises. Probably he thought, I'm only 20-something, and I live to be 90-something. I mean, according to some of the doctors and scientists I've heard on TV from Cambridge, no, it was from Oxford University, actually, this guy, he said, you know, people will live over 100 years easily. And another one said even more. He said, by the time I get to 100, probably death will be defeated. Very bad business. Are you doing something similar today? Are you preoccupied, worried about the here and now? I know it can be worrying, especially when you don't have something to eat or to dress or to pay the bills with. People can be worried, and rightly so. But don't be preoccupied. Don't be thinking what's going to happen in 10 years' time, 5 years' time. Think about what God can do for you now. He can save you. I know that the world is really worrying. Maureen was saying, you know, to pray for this sad world. Well, yes, we need to pray. But begin with your own situation, your own spiritual situation. Where are you? How is your relationship with God? Another thing that came out yesterday in our men's meeting was the difference between coming to church every Sunday and having a personal relationship with Jesus. It's a big difference. Many years ago, I remember 30 odd years ago, we used to have a leaflet. I used to give out loads of leaflets. I used to, you know, walk around the streets of London saying, would you like one of my leaflets? One of my leaflets for you? And one of them actually said, going to hell from a church pew. Church's pew. Well, now we don't have pews, we have chairs. But people could be going to hell from one of these chairs. Because coming to church, reading the Bible and praying is not sufficient. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? The second man, a person we are going to talk about is Judas. Well, Judas was a very strange character. I think he was a very good treasurer. He would have done a good job handling our books here. Or not, because he was very good with accounts. But in Spain we say if we work with soap, it will get stuck under your nails. And that's what was happening with Judas. Some of the money was going into his pocket. Very good treasurer, very good politician probably. Very clever thief. He followed Jesus, not because of what Jesus had promised to do for his soul, but he followed Jesus because he carried the bag with all the money. He thought, I can make a mint if I follow Jesus. And I tell you what, many years ago, when I first was called by God to go to Bible college, someone told me, remember, there is no money in following Jesus. Be careful you don't follow him or go to Bible college for fame, and so on. And no, there is no money following Jesus. But Judas probably thought, one day I'm going to be the Lord's chancellor in Jesus' kingdom. Was he that? Why the apostles were quite concerned about God's kingdom is going to be established. Who is going to be the prime minister? Who is going to be the Lord's chancellor? And Judas were thinking, that's me, that's me. He loved money so much that he paid a terrible price for it. He lost his honor. He was a thief. And they say there is no honor among thieves, but definitely that proves it. He lost his honor. But the thing is that he wasn't among thieves, was he? He was in a good company of men and women that trusted in Jesus and trusted in the promises of God. And by stealing, the first thing he lost after his honor was his friends. No one liked him anymore. He was desperate. Because he was not a truthful person, was he? And truth is one of the most important things that men and women should have. Back in my days in Spain, you know, when I was a teenager, they used to say, and most people live like that, is that you are very clever if you can work out a very nice lie and you don't get caught. White lies, or however you want to call them. Then I came to this country and I realized that most people will actually distrust you and get, you know, don't want to know you if you told a lie. And I thought about it, and it's true. If you cannot tell the truth all the time, I cannot trust you. That's why when politicians do silly things, like cheating on the wives, for instance, I'm thinking of one of them now, or something else, and they say, oh, that's their personal life. No. No, it's not their personal life. If his wife cannot trust him, why should they trust him? Why anyone else would trust him? But the most horrible thing he lost, or wonderful thing, sorry, he lost, was his master. Jesus could have meant a lot for him. Now, what does Jesus mean for you here and now? Is he your master? Is he your friend? Is he your savior? Do you acknowledge him as Lord and Savior? All the money in the world cannot take the place of Jesus. And in the case of Judas, because of his love for money, he couldn't see or understand what following Jesus and his promises meant. He couldn't see the woods for the trees for the woods. Jesus was there teaching them, but he couldn't see or understand any of his teachings. Where is your mind and your heart this morning? Are you thinking of something else up there? Whether it's money, house, family, car, any properties? Those things will get in between you and Jesus and stop you from having a good, healthy relationship. And the last thing he lost, I think I'm going to mention, is his soul. And he realized that. He got so worried, scared, and really desperate that he went back to the priests and said, here is your money. I don't want it. So what? They said. And he was so upset for what he's done that he went outside and hung himself. Well, it didn't do him any good. It was now too late. I don't know what would have happened if he went back to Jesus and said, sorry. I believe that he would have been forgiven. But if you don't go to Jesus now and say sorry, spiritually, you are as dead as Judas was after he hung himself. And that's all what he took with him. 30 pieces of silver. How much was that? A month's salary or two? I don't know. I think it was just a coin a day, isn't it? That a worker used to get. So he had shame. That's why he hung himself, and desperation and death. Spiritual as well as physical. So please don't give up following Christ to follow a group, a party, money, okay? Christ should be central in our life. And the last one is the greedy man. Ebenezer Scrooge. He wanted more and more and more. And he was very successful, apparently, because he didn't have enough bonds to put all his goods in there. Listen, being successful in business and having a good bank account doesn't imply that God is blessing you. It's just business. And this greedy man, what he wanted was more. More glory, more power, more fame, more wisdom, etc. Once they ask Rockefeller, how much does a person need to live comfortably? And his answer was, a little bit more. So it doesn't matter how much you earn. You always need or want a little bit more. That is to be a greedy person. And your mind shifts from the importance, what is important, to what is not so important. It's good to have money, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I also need a little bit more. But if I focus in getting more all the time, well, I am completely losing my north. I've lost which way I'm going. I cannot focus on the important anymore. And I tell you what, the love of money is idolatry. Now, idolatry is one of the sins that was very much condemned from day one in the beginning of the Old Testament. And idolatry doesn't mean to have an idol up there, which we don't, but I mean some people may take that cross for an idol, or the little dove over there. Idolatry means to allow anything, absolutely anything, in between you and God. Job, car, house, family, anything between you and God, that is idolatry. So what would be the practical application? Well, in Luke 4, 5 to 7, we see that Satan tempting Jesus and saying, all this I will give you. I don't know if you've loved reading books and literature. It was my favorite subject when I was in primary, in secondary school. And I remember reading many, many stories from the 18th and 19th century. And there's quite a few stories about people that sold their soul to the devil. And the devil promised this and that. And how does the story end? The devil did not keep his word. The devil will never keep his word. And he will tell you, look, if you do this, I'll give you that. If you do this business, you'll get that much. And it doesn't work because he's a liar and father of all lies. In Hebrews, we learn about Moses. Moses was a very important man. He was one of the princes of Egypt. I suppose some of you did see the film on the cartoons some years ago, Moses, Prince of Egypt. He was very important. He was the second most important man in the country. And in those days, Egypt was just as big and important and powerful as today can be USA or USSR. Well, no, Russia nowadays. Very important person, very powerful man he was. And you know what he did? He said he left everything behind because he wanted to do what God was asking him to do. He was not tempted by the temporal but by the spiritual. So, if you earn the whole world and you lose your soul, Jesus says that you've done a very bad business. The soul is the most important, the most precious thing a person has. Look after it. Bring it to God. Trust in Jesus. It's the most important business you have to take care of. And don't worry, it doesn't matter, as I said before, whether you're 12 or 13 or 90-something. You still can come to Christ today, right now. Give him your heart, your soul, and he will take care of everything else. Now, that doesn't mean, and I'm not promising, that all your troubles are going to go away. No, probably your troubles will start right now. Because the biggest trouble I find as a Christian is to keep walking on his path, on his footsteps. Not easy, but rewarding. Very rewarding. May God guide you as you look at your life and you decide what is the most important thing today. What do you want to do with your life, with your business? Now we are going to have another song, and then Maureen will close for us in prayer. Leaning on the everlasting arms. May that be your experience today and every day.
Father, as we leave here and go into another week, help us to lean on you. Wherever we may be, help us to lean on you and help us to focus on what you want us to do. Father, we have our difficult times during the weeks, but Father, we always know that we can come back to you. So Father, be with each one of us as we leave here now, that you'll be with us as we go through the week. In your name, amen. Let's say the grace together. Oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hope you all have a good week.